Welcome to the Black Money Matters podcast, brought to you by Chase Bank and presented by the Los Angeles Sentinel newspaper. I'm Miel Anderson, and we are at the Chase Back to School event in the heart of South Los Angeles on Crenshaw Boulevard at the Bakewell Building. Our first guest today is Tatiana Roberts. She's the Crenshaw Community Manager for Chase Bank. Welcome to Black Money Matters.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you today.
So talk to us about what it means to be the Crenshaw Community Manager.
What that means is educating the community on financial health education. Most often than not, communities that have been historically underserved don't really get the financial health education at schools. And so what ends up happening is that there is a big gap in knowledge. And so therefore, community members aren't able to thrive financially because they just don't know what they don't know.
Right, right. And so today we're here. It's sunny in California and you have a back to school event. So how did this community event come to be?
It was really about the need in the community, right? The ask. Oftentimes we participate in with organizations that host back to school events. So we thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we can host our own and provide backpacks to families and alleviate some of that stress that comes from back to school shopping?
And so we were talking earlier to some of the mentees from the Brotherhood Crusade, and they talked about a Chase Bank workshop that they attended. What were some of the objectives that you all wanted to accomplish with this Chase Bank workshop for the youth?
Yeah, so the objective was to provide enough information where they can make good money decisions. So we talked about budgeting, the importance, right? A lot of times people think of a budget as being restrictive and almost like a diet. People don't want a diet, right? And so it's very, something that people don't want to do. And so we really simplified the process for them so that it was easy to understand. We talked about credit. We talked about home ownership. We talked about entrepreneurship. And so the objective was really to teach them things that are still not being taught in school so that they can have a better financial future.
Do you have these type of workshops for parents and students all year long?
We do. So we do partner up with different organizations to provide these workshops. And then we also host 2 workshops a month at our Crenshaw Community Center.
So if a nonprofit community organization wanted to reach out to Chase to host a workshop, would they just come here to the Crenshaw building?
Yes. And they would ask for me, Tatiana Roberts, so that we can, host them and talk about whatever needs they have. Or whatever topic that they're interested in.
Thank you for your time, for coming to talk to us, and just thank you for what you're doing for the community.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now let's check in with Marvin Lawton. He's the Senior Vice President of Boys and Young Men of Color for the Los Angeles Brotherhood Crusade. He's here to share his thoughts on the Chase Bank workshop that they recently held for some of the Brotherhood Crusade mentees. And we'll hear from some of those mentees and the impact that the workshop had on them as they head back to school.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marvin Lawton. I'm the Senior Vice President for Boys and Young Men of Color Division for the Brotherhood Crusade. We're here today at the wonderful Chase Bank, nice sunny weather, with our students who are part of our Bolt Academy in partnership with the Los Angeles Chargers. And we're here to kind of talk about some experience they had with Chase Bank and their financial literacy program that they had to undergo for the past month.
Hi, my name is Avarachi Uwebalam. I am from the Brotherhood Crusade Bolt Up Academy. I started this program a couple months ago, and so far I have made many improvements. We learned about financial literacy. The most important thing for me is budgeting. Before the whole program, I didn't know what budgeting is. I thought it was just simply saving, but doing this program, I learned a lot more. It's way deeper than that, and I'm incredibly invested in it.
Mekhiel Solomon, Brotherhood Crusade, Bolt Academy. They taught me a lot about just being me and being a better me as well. And with the Chase seminar, with the financial literacy program, they taught me a lot about just saving money and planning on what to do with money in the future. If I ever go to college, if I ever have a big, big business and choose to retire from that business, what I could do with that money. So it taught me a lot just not more than just saving money, but just how to be responsible with financial currency as well.
Joining us now is Jonathan Morales. He's the head of community banking for California at Chase Bank. Welcome to the Black Money Matters podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
The whole concept of banking versus community banking. Can you break down the difference?
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, I think banking nowadays, a lot of folks have the understanding banking is where you go to have an ordinary relationship. But our whole focus on community is really centered on providing people pathways to have relationships with financial institutions that maybe they didn't have before. And I would say they didn't have them before because those institutions didn't always focus on trust.
Right.
So that's what we do now. Community banking is 100% focused on going into historically underserved, underrepresented Black and Hispanic Latino communities to just show up and show up in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of instances, these communities have always had people that are just focused on changing and transforming these communities. But now we have a resource with Chase showing up and saying, okay, what do y'all need? What can we bring to the table with our expertise? And hopefully over time, earn the right to provide different pathways with relationships with those financial institutions so that they're not victimized by predatory lending. So to me, it's always been about how do we focus on the community, through the community, from the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a team that's 100% made up of people that actually live in the neighborhoods in which they're operating. And I'm really proud to say that because I feel like those are the folks that are really caring about the solutions.
I've attended hundreds of back to school events and, you know, you always see logos at the bottom, brought to you by, sponsored by. But today we're at one of Chase's locations and you guys are the host of the back to school giveaway. Why was it so important for Chase to do a back to school event?
Firstly, you have to get to the youth and start developing a relationship and a healthy relationship and a positive relationship early on so that you can help them understand it's okay to walk into a bank because it could be intimidating. You walk in here, I think back to when I was young, I would translate for my parents. Now, first of all, no business translating. I'm talking like pre-10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking in, that's nerve-wracking. So now what we want them to see is like, no, walk in. We want you to meet the team. We want you to realize the team is full of people that maybe look like you.
Right.
So you can see yourselves in the work. I once heard this amazing quote from a leader, and she shared her whole philosophy around her ability to continue to navigate her career. And she was a Black leader, was that she always felt the responsibility that people need to recognize her when she's doing her job because it was the simplest notion. If you see her, you can be her.
Right.
And so imagine now we're doing something simple. It's non-bank related. The backpacks are non-logoed from us. It's just about doing the right thing for no other reason than we have a community that needs us to. And if we keep showing up in that way, imagine the power of what's possible when people actually do need financial information, financial resources, financial education. Now they're coming to institutions where we have subject matter experts that you don't have to qualify to talk to,
mm-hmm.
and that aren't actually predatory in nature. Like, these are folks that are just out here to help you and bless you with information so that hopefully you can actually have a change in your financial future.
Right.
So I think it's critical to start young.
It is critical to start young. And you brought up the difference earlier between equality and equity. What's the difference between equality and equity?
I love that question. I usually get that question from people that didn't grow up in environments like me. So when I introduce the work we're doing and I say we're focused on driving racial equity and really transformative opportunities for Black, Hispanic, Latino communities, I think you first have to understand in order to have equality, you have to have equity. What that means is people aren't starting off with the same resources. So no one's looking for us to be a hero. I don't need a hero. I don't think the community wants a hero. Mm-hmm. However, I want to know that we're doing everything in our part financially to provide pathways that allow us to start at the same starting line. Because right now there is a market disadvantage if you're honestly a member that identifies as Black or Hispanic Latino. Your income levels are historically lower than your white, Asian, and other demographic counterparts. You know, the average net savings is vastly lower. Pathways to home ownership are incrementally more difficult. And so it's really about how do we create opportunities knowing that the Black community, the Hispanic Latino community are powerful communities. And so it's not just the right thing to do, it's good for the country. So when you actually think of a country where everybody gets to participate in the economy, then it's all of a sudden like, all right, now what's possible? But on top of that, a lot of people think this work is just feel good. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the work that I do. It fills my heart with joy. But from an economics perspective, there is a power, influence, and capital existing within the Black community and the Hispanic Latino community today. And if you just look at overall contribution to GDP nationally, it's incrementally stronger than any other demographics. So the future is Black and brown. We're just trying to help everybody be prepared for that. And we're trying to make sure that when it does occur, that all of these families have the different wealth vehicles and knowledge of them to make a change.
So, you know, break down for us, how is Chase supporting families back to school prep?
So the back to school prep, I think first we need to understand, like, just I think back to my own youth, my parents would have to make concessions to get me that backpack. Like, replacing a backpack is not cheap. So one, we just figured, all right, what's one way that we could bless the community with something simple that's not always planned for? All right, backpack. Back to school is always going to be something that goes around. It gets kids geared up for education. You start to reset your mind, come back from summer. But if we can continue to provide pathways like that and solutions like that, all of a sudden now people are using the bank and it's a little bit more synonymous with like, okay, hey, I'm going through a change. There's a season of life change that I'm navigating. So as we help youth, this is one way. Giveaways are one way. But the beauty of the team that I get to lead is we don't just get to throw money at things. So like, I love this. We're giving away, the community needs it. But what we actually provide is pathways through education, pathways to understanding the resources, providing a healthy understanding and appreciation with the bank so that this youth could understand some of the nuances. So like, even though we're at a backpack event, what you may not necessarily know is behind the scenes, as they're actually getting their backpacks and participating and getting their buttons, there's financial education taking place. I have one of my community managers, and that's the position we introduced to go out in the communities and really try to get to know the communities and become proximate. So one of my community managers, Tatiana, is actually providing education throughout the day. So she's doing bite-sized content from the basics of budgeting and at the kids' level. So it's not like budgeting, like, what bills are you paying? It's budgeting to understand delayed gratification. You can buy that candy bar today, but if you save the money you got, you can actually buy that video game. But like, it's funny when you start to talk to kids about what they could purchase, all of a sudden they actually start to grasp a simple concept. Delayed gratification, the importance of budgeting, the importance of having a plan, the importance of saving. And then imagine if that starts to trickle down, that's what they're starting with. We also have education for parents on how to have those conversations with kids, how to think about your own finances. And so it really, what it does is it creates and normalizes the financial health conversation within the family dynamic. Because I don't know about you, but like when I was growing up, those were not conversations I was privy to. I was told to leave the room.
You know, when I really wish I would have had those conversations when I went to college, and all of those credit card companies were in front of the student union.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, credit card, sign me up. But if I would have had that education, I probably would have looked at the APR and backed away from the table.
We are singing from the same sheet of music.
Right.
I remember my first credit card. I don't want to disparage any of the companies, so I won't say who it was. But when I was in college, I remember, you have to pay this back by when? And yeah, I learned how low your credit score could go.
Right.
And you're not limboing to the beat. Like, you don't need that credit score to go low. So I didn't know things like keep your credit score above 700 as much as you can. I didn't know things about debt ratios, or those just weren't typical conversations. In my house, cash was king. And in all honesty, like, I just remember growing up, my dad had jackets that he put different bills in, and that was a savings plan. And it was like, wait a minute. So now here I am, been in the industry for 20 years, would never recommend that.
Right.
But it's all about like, how do we create transformation? I do think it's education. Mm-hmm. But I think it's education, and I always try to be very delicate about this, because while my heart is full of joy and we're doing this, you're always going to see a very humble approach from me, because we should have always been doing this.
Right.
I feel like financial institutions should have always been at the table saying, how do we normalize these conversations? What role can we play in this? How do we bring this education to the community? So we don't just do it here. We actually leave these four walls and we'll go out to do community events at schools with youth, different age brackets, from elementary all the way to college, to have those conversations and to actually truly affect change by making sure that these are normal dinner table conversations.
Yeah, they should be, especially like looking at our country when it comes to student loan debt, and how when you're in college and you understand you could take out a loan on your own, but you're not really thinking that you really have to pay that loan back.
No.
Until you get into the real world and you have to pay your car note, have to pay your rent. And now they're knocking at your door for those student loan pay.
No, you're 100%. And then how many students actually know the difference between different interest rates, deferred payment programs, what programs are available?
Forbearance.
I didn't know any of that.
Me neither.
And so to me, I had a Cal Grant and then I worked two jobs while I was in school. Now, I'm proud of the fact that I'm first generation in my family to actually get that degree, and my parents, I was able to manifest why they came to this country. But the reality is it shouldn't have been that hard for me.
Right.
If I had the knowledge of like what was available to me,
mm-hmm.
what kind of financial future would I have today? Now, I'm very fortunate that I'm okay. I don't want for anything today, but it wasn't always like that. And so that's where I start to think through, like, I see myself in these communities. I see myself at different phases of life. I see my parents in these communities. I see the families that are on government assistance like mine was, or in different programs, or children not understanding why mom and dad can't eat, but I can eat today. I see all of those concessions that shouldn't be concessions that people normally make if all they had was access to information at a different phase. And then let's not even get into like when you don't have financial health, all of the decisions that you think you have to make, or how that stress manifests itself in very unfortunate ways for different families. And so to me, if we can just provide pathways for one solution, this work is bigger than any financial institution. but it's also going to be work that I think really transforms our future collectively.
I think so too, because even having this conversation right now, finances was never even a thought when you thought about back to school in the context of what we're talking about. And since we're talking about it, what are some of the ways you can teach your kids on how to save money?
First off, I would say, let's just start off with having a conversation about it. Like, let's start off with talking about, what does it mean to save? What does it mean to have a budget? What is a budget? And break it down in ways that the kids know. You know, I often encourage people to think through the fact that there's not a single recipe for success. Budgets don't have to be a one-time thing.
Right.
I often think about this, like, how many times do we go through different seasons of change throughout a year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, each season of change could actually allow for a conversation on, like, we should change the budget. And then I also think it's important for parents to have conversations with the kids whenever things do come up, just so they could be part of the conversation. Obviously, age appropriate. So, you know, I have three boys myself. I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 6-year-old. I'm introducing for the 13-year-old, when mom and dad are making decisions on certain things, what goes into that decision? Even if it's as simple as, like, hey, y'all said you wanted to go eat here. Here are the decisions leading up to that. We had to save X, put this money away,
right?
Figure it out, plan, coordinate. Like, a single decision is not only a moment in time. And I think a lot of kids think about that. That's why I think delayed gratification is important. I think it's about using tools and resources. A lot of kids are visual. So we have workbooks that the kids can use that are at their level. So we have, it's a tween. I think that's a new term. Between a teen, like preteen. I don't know. It's hip. I'm out of touch. But it's one of those things where it's an actual active comic book on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can actually see the impacts of their decisions. They can see things that they're saving for. Say, let's talk about what that actually costs. And let's talk about how you can earn that.
Right.
Equate that to giving them something. Also, controversial thought.
Okay.
Let them have a little bit of an allowance and allow them to make simple mistakes that they can rebound from. So you and I talked about credit. That's okay. Not a simple mistake. Don't do that. But what if a kid's saving for something and you know there's something else coming up, right? Like, so I have my son, there's a big trip coming up. I know he's gonna probably wanna buy something on the trip, but he sees something that he wants now. And I don't plant the seed that the trip is coming up. So he uses all his money. Because you know how money is, you got it in your pocket, it's like it's burning in a hole, you gotta use it. He uses all his money, so when we go on the trip, he doesn't have any. That's a mistake he made. He purchases something without doing research on it and it doesn't work because maybe he purchases it from an unreputable site or something like that, where he's like, I can get this on a discount, it's eBay, but he doesn't do his research and it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the price you pay for making poor decisions.
Right.
And that allows them to understand consequences, because now it's like, they think of all the work they did on those allowances, now they made this bad decision, and mom and dad aren't just the safety net of saying, it's okay, I'll buy it for you. It's no, what did you learn from that?
Right.
And allow them to make those mistakes, because I think that's critical too. So it's, you teach them about budgeting, but then you start to introduce a little bit of freedom as appropriate for your family. But then you allow them to learn from those moments, because it's not just what we say, it's what we do that they learn from. And it's also what they do and what they experience is going to help them transform into the adults that they're going to become. So those are just some few examples.
And so you mentioned you had your 13-year-old who you're talking to, but you also said you had a 6-year-old. What's the best age to start talking to finance?
I think for the 6-year-old, it's fun. We do it using a number of silly things. We try to meet him where he's at.
Okay.
What gets his attention right now is candy. He's on his little tech with his brothers, because he's got older brothers. So don't get me wrong, he's 6 thinking he's going on 14, but like he's 6. So we always try to speak at his level, help him understand like, hey, if you put this away now, will you have more later? And you do it with a number of different things with candies. You can do it when you're introducing math. My 6-year-old, obviously he's just starting in school, so helping him understand that. But we do have conversations in front of him, because what I want him to know is when he's ready and has questions, that's okay to have. I think it's just about creating a place and a platform for those conversations to exist.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're absolutely right. It's going to be simple. It's not going to be time consuming with the younger kids. But we actually do education with kids so they understand at their level that it's important for them to start learning about it. Try to make it fun. Mm-hmm. Finance isn't always fun. Could be a really boring topic. But we try to create it in a way where they understand, like, I should be thinking about this.
Right.
Why is it important for me? I think if you can do that, then all of a sudden, that's when the kids go home and start talking to mom and dad and hopefully create that curiosity for us to drive more change within the family.
Around what age do you think kids should start a bank account?
Oh, we have a program called First Checking here. And even though my team doesn't focus on the products aspect of our business, I think it's important for people to understand, like, some of our products, like First Checking, is actually geared for parents to actually have oversight. So like everything we just talked about around being able to manage your kids' finances, allowing them to make simple mistakes, managing what they're able to access, we have a product like that for them, but your parents have to be on it with you. So I would say, honestly, right around that junior high school years, I think it's important for kids. Yeah, the tween years, because those are transformative years. That's actually when you start to develop a lot of habits, right? When we actually start to think of the psychology of this, we start introducing it now with guardrails, because you got mom and dad watching you, perfect time to do it, right? I also think there's a lot of different things we could do around minor savings. The kids don't really manage that. Mom and dad do. There's no harm in them seeing their bank account grow with little investments in time. My kids have piggy banks at home, so like they like to see their stuff physically, but I think it's important to show them also just on a statement, like this is what's going on, and then start to introduce those little nuances of freedom. And I think that's when the tweens tend to appreciate it, because that they already think they're ready to be grown. So there you go.
Wow. I mean, we have gone from elementary, preschool, all the way to college, and you have given us so many great nuggets of finances. I mean, I never thought about back to school and finances, but you just opened the Pandora's box.
But see, I think it's just about creating a platform to have these conversations.
Right, right.
We are having this conversation in Crenshaw.
Uh-huh.
With kids in the background having a great time in a bank. I think it's exposing kids to numbers, but it's also exposing them to healthy relationships with financial institutions.
And not to be intimidated.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the more that they can confidently know, they can come in, be welcomed, feel like they see people that look like them from their community that they run into. Imagine what's possible. And all of a sudden they think, oh, I need a solution. I think banks are where I go to talk to people about finances, even if I'm just seeking information.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we're truly creating change. You don't have to choose to do business with Chase, but if you get the education, now you're empowered to make the best choice for you and your family in any financial situation you have. Now, obviously, there's nuances to that for different families, and they navigate different obstacles, but access to information should never be one of those obstacles, and I'm proud to be part of that change.
Right. So we're talking to Jonathan Morales. He's the head of Chase Community Banking for California. Thank you so much for your time and bringing this event to the Crenshaw District.
Thank you for creating a space for this conversation. This was a blast. I loved it.
All right.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Now let's check back in with some of the Brotherhood Crusade mentees as they continue to share their experience at the Chase Workshop.
Hello, my name is Cameron Jones. I'm with the Brotherhood Crusade Boats Up Academy. I just want to say that Brotherhood was an amazing opportunity for me. It taught me how to get out of my shell, how to be comfortable wherever I was uncomfortable, how to do things I wasn't familiarized with doing. And then they introduced us to the Chase Financial Literacy course, and that just really helped me out a lot. I learned how to manage my money, how to manage my credit cards, just in case I ever get a credit card when I get older, how to use my credit and don't let my credit use me, and always how to leverage all the money I have just so I can save up for emergencies and always have something when I need something.
I learned how to make my money work for me instead of me working for my money. I learned a lot about smart goals, setting goals, and just having property and just things like that, and generational wealth as well.
The partnership with the Chase Bank and financial literacy is critical not just to their financial success, but more importantly, their knowledge base. They're getting this information at the age of 15 to 20 years old. And imagine what they'll become with this literacy, especially if they adapt to it, and more importantly, they apply it. This workshop gave them invaluable tools just to really kickstart their financial health, financial success, and ultimately and hopefully their financial wealth. So not only that can be wealth for their families, but they can also give back to the community, which is one of the partnerships that we have with Chase Bank. Well, we partner with them because of their community investment and how they give back to the community, but not just with financial assistance, right? More importantly, financial education.
Thank you, Chase!
Joining us now is Mary Lee of the Special Needs Network. Welcome to Black Money Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're here at the Chase Back to School event at the Bakewell Building in the heart of Crenshaw District. How did the Special Needs Network link up with Chase Bank?
Well, we're located right in the Chase Bank building on the second floor. So we were here when the bank came, and we actually do a lot of business transaction, and some of our parents do bank with the bank here. And we also have utilized some of the management to provide workshops for our individuals on financial literacy. To be able to talk to your local bankers, it lets them know who's in the community. And as I say, with our families, we try to connect with those folks who want to get out and reach the community, not just in getting accounts with them, but teaching them how to, about home ownership, how to save, banking basics. Many of our young adults who grow up that are on the autism spectrum and have other disabilities, we like to be able to have individuals that can come and train them on literacy. And we have done that. So they are a help source to the many partners that we work with in the community.
And for those who don't know, tell us about the Special Needs Network.
Well, Special Needs Network, we're a grassroots nonprofit organization focusing on disability rights as well as access, equitable access to high quality health care. Many of our families live in resource limited communities. They themselves are burdened with financial costs. So we provide that bridge to help them navigate the bureaucratic systems that they will need to utilize for their kids to be able to get services from the regional center to insurances, housing, food sources. Those are the things that we do. And we also provide a family network, which is why we have that name. We want our families to know they're not alone in this journey, and we provide that network, that wraparound for them.
The Special Needs Network had a booth out today at the Back to School event sponsored by Chase. What type of resources or information were you providing?
We're providing, for one, the information on our upcoming Back to School event, which will be on August 26th in Lawndale. And we are partnering with our assembly member, Tina McKinner, and the mayor in that city to provide not only Lawndale and the surrounding areas, but those families who have been with us for a while, not just back to school resources, but also other resources that they may need in terms of being able to get therapeutic services, connecting with IEP support, things like that. So we're really sharing that since we are getting ready to go back to school. We also know how important it is when the overwhelming work that it takes to advocate and care for an individual with special needs. So we have wellness. We're sharing our wellness Saturday that we have with our coach CJ in the Baldwin Hills Mall coming up this Saturday. We're there every second Saturday each month. And then we also share about our therapeutic and our clinical side. We have ABA therapists that go in the home. They also do center-based work with our young folks to help them with their challenges from the disabilities. And I'm also sharing with folks that don't know, we are open in our Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities at the Martin Luther King Community Hospital Complex. So
that's that, Watts, right?
Yes, Watts Willowbrook, beautiful area. We're working with one of our partners, St. John's, on the second floor. We're also working with our pediatric hub for our foster care family. So lots of things going on.
Oh, amazing. So thank you so much for sharing your information about the Special Needs Network, your upcoming back to school event, and partnering with Chase Bank for this important event today.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next time on the Black Money Matters podcast as we discuss ways to empower our community and get our people financially healthy. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube at Los Angeles Sentinel Newspaper. Thank you for listening.